further ado, let's welcome to the show Valerie Adams-Bass. Excuse me.
So, do you want me to welcome her?
Yeah, no. Having a moment. Adams-Bass is an assistant professor of education at the University of Virginia's Curry School of Education and a faculty affiliate with YouthNext, the Center to Promote Effective Youth Development. Her research examines media influence on Black youth, how racial socialization and racial identity influence the way these youth see themselves. She's particularly interested in how negative media stereotypes affect Black adolescents' interpersonal interactions and self-esteem. She's consulted on youth development efforts for the United Way, conducted research with urban African-American and Latino adolescents, South African youth, and focused on civic engagement, among other things. Today, we are so happy to talk to her about her work and also the significance of the movie Black Panther, which premiered yesterday, already setting box office records. Welcome to the show, Valerie.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Ellen and Nancy.
Yes.
Okay. I hear you.
Great.
So before we dig into the Black Panther, tell us a little bit about your work and what you study. I tried to do it justice, but I think you could do better and where that came from.
Sure. So I tend to study the adolescent experiences, the lived experiences of African-American youth. Mostly I've had that opportunity to do that with urban African-American youth, but also with youth in South Africa and in some suburban communities as well. And what I'm interested in understanding is how they interpret and cope with racialized experiences in schools and classrooms and communities, and how do they do that at the same time as attempting to develop a healthy sense of self and identity. And so that's really what I pay attention to and focus on and think about. How can we support that process of identity development and helping them to filter messages that are often negative about who they are or people that look like them?
And this desire to make a difference in, you know, young people's lives, where did that focus come from?
I believe that focus for me came from just, I started out shortly out of high school before pursuing my academic career working in a high school mentoring program for at-risk youth. And these were not youth who were failing, but they weren't youth who were at the top. They were middle C youth, C plus, C average youth. And the goal was to get them to be an A student so that they could apply to college. And so by doing that, I was working directly with them, and I was just hearing their stories, hearing what it was like for them to attend public schools that were low resources. Tish mentioned earlier, teachers who were often stressed, and just figuring out how to navigate that experience. And so through that, being a program assistant in that position, I began to advocate for them. I had recently graduated from college myself, so I felt like I could really appreciate where they were, or because I had recently been there myself. I think the distinction was I had attended a magnet school, a pretty elite high college preparatory school. So seeing that disparity and saying that there has to be an opportunity for all children to have the same type of education that I did, and that is how I became an advocate as well as interested as a researcher.
You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Apropos of Something. We're going to go to a short break, and we'll be right back with Valerie Adams-Bass, assistant professor of education at the University of Virginia's Curry School of Education. We're going to talk about the Black Panther. Welcome back, everybody, to Apropos of Something. We air every Saturday. My co-host is Nancy Lawrence. I'm Ellen Daniels, and we're here today. We just spoke with Tish Jennings, and now we're talking with Valerie Adams-Bass. She is with the Curry School of Education and YouthNext, the Center to Promote Effective Youth Development, and we're going to talk about Black Panther a little bit right now, hopefully a lot. So, Valerie, what is the significance of this movie? I have a feeling it is a really big deal in the African-American community. What is the significance?
Sure. I would say the significance is infinite, but I would start out by saying that this is the first mainstream Black superhero that is getting this type of attention from a commercial support as well as a creative support with a majority Black cast. So that's pretty big and impressive when you're talking about the trilogy, or should I say the history of superheroes within the context of both comic books, which is where these stories have originated, as well as big screen movies and box office hits. Very, very significant.
And even though I know it did officially only open yesterday, I was struck by how much impact it has. I've been hearing about it since last month. Did it surprise you that it took off before, you know, it even released?
Interestingly enough, I think there's a duality in the release of it happening. This is Black History Month, right? Which started out as Black History Week, founded by Carter G. Woodson. So I don't believe that it is an irony that the movie was released in the middle of Black History Month. That was, I'm sure, with purpose and intention. Further, I would say it was last fall amongst different social media platforms that Black consumers were seeing the trailer before it hit the mainstream commercial market. So there was already a building up well in advance of the mainstream marketing that we're experiencing now, where people were saying, I'm ready, I'm going to support this, let's go. We can't wait until February. It's now that it's making this mainstream space where everyone is now being informed about, wow, there was actually a Black superhero among the Marvel characters. Wow, this is going to be a movie that's majority Black cast. This is where the conversation is shifting and changing.
So I don't know if you've seen it yet, because I know you're going to see it with your class, which is so great.
Yes.
But I know you know quite a lot about it. So if we could get really into the nitty-gritty about it, what sticks out to you about it? I know women play a big role. Mm-hmm. There's a lot about Africa. What are the kind of the bullet points that you would want to bring out?
Sure. So a couple things about the movie I think is exciting. As Alan mentioned, my students are required to see this movie, so I'll be joining them shortly after this interview. They have a paper to do on this movie. I teach a media stereotypes and Black adolescent identity development class. So this is their first movie that they have to go see and then write about. So a couple things of significance I just mentioned to you is that it's a majority Black cast. They have A-list actors in the movie. Oftentimes, if it's a majority Black cast, you're not going to get A-list actors and actresses. They have the marketing support. The character is actually from Africa, right? Mm-hmm. He is a king. He's educated at Oxford in a STEM field, right? So if you're thinking about this, particularly from the context of African-American adolescence, where you have this stereotype threat of performing well, or you have someone like John Agbu who said, you know, there's this acting white theory, right? So here, this is a counter conversation where you have a highly educated African-American male and a STEM field from a well-known, prestigious university. That right there is counter to every message that you receive or often see in mainstream characters on television as well as in the movies. Very, very significant.
And what about...
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Nancy.
Go ahead. Okay, I'm always struck in general whenever women are a factor in a movie.
Yes.
And the fact that they are significant. They have this army. They have leading women in this. Were you surprised by that, or what was your reaction to the impact of women in the story?
I think it's incredibly celebratory, and I think it's also relevant. Another key factor about this is the hues, meaning the color, the actual skin color and tones that you see of the women as well as the other characters in this movie are very varied, which is what you're going to find in the African-American community. Again, not often what you see in mainstream movies that receive this type of financial and marketing success and support. And so I wasn't quite surprised, but I was very elated to see that. And I'm interested in hearing what young people have to say. There's a lot of conversation among the adults like myself who are excited. We are saying it's about time. But for those young people who don't have an opportunity to see that every day in the schools of the communities where they live, it'll be interesting to hear their dialogues, particularly in these social media spaces where they often use social media as an opportunity to discuss and sometimes counter the messages that they are receiving about themselves or people who look like them in the media.
You mentioned the shades. Just to be ignorant, what did you mean by different representation, different colors?
Sure. So one of the things that happens and is historically part of the legacy of slavery in the United States is colorism, right? So there tends to be a favored position of black people of lighter skin. And even unfortunately, within the African-American community, there also tends to be that preference, as well as the actors who tend to receive some of those more highly favored parts tend to be of the lighter skin, or the light, even if they're not of the lighter skin, oftentimes they are anglicized in that way. And that recently happened to Lupita Nyong'o on the cover of a magazine, where they changed the kinkiness of her hair, and she spoke out about that. So they couldn't change the hue of her skin, she's just too dark to lighten, but they certainly changed the kinkiness of her hair. And she made a point of saying, it took a long time for me to accept this. I want to be a role model for young women and young boys, and I don't want you to change my hair. So this idea of a colorism even being addressed in this movie is incredibly significant and a very powerful statement, particularly if you're talking about young people, not just adults, but young people who are going through identity development. That's where they are. They're thinking about their gender. Their bodies are changing. They're in the throes of puberty. And here you get to see a varied color, varied body types, and you get to see them being athletic, right? So you think about that campaign, Nancy, you mentioned throw like a girl or like a girl. So in this movie, if you're going to throw like a girl, you're going to do some pretty powerful stuff, right? You are going to be a martial arts expert. You are going to be a trained military, general. That is pretty powerful compared to what we would normally think about when you hear like a girl, which is what that entire campaign that Always Had did was around, these stereotypes we have about gender and the strength of women. This movie dispels all of that and celebrates what has traditionally been the strength of African-American women and African women.
Please correct me if I missed one in between, but the last time I remember a black production getting accolades and attention was when the relaunch of Roots was done, that it's had a fresher take and a harsher look. First of all, am I right about that? Did I miss one in between? And the fact that it seems to be when about slavery, when it is an all-black cast. And the more you speak about this movie, the more I just, exhale about the fact that this, even if I don't like a comic book movie myself, that this is, this is just a feature film that doesn't have, that has its own message. It's got a unique message. Never told before.
Sure. So I don't think that you're wrong about your acknowledgement or awareness about the retelling of Roots, the modernization of Roots, which was really good. But I would also suggest that there are stereotypes, both positive and negative. Unfortunately, most of the stereotypes in the movies that are celebrated or the stories that are celebrated specifically about the black experience, whether it's here in the country of the United States or on the continent of Africa or the diaspora, meaning global, are usually negative. They're usually stories about the middle passage, right? So not just slavery here in the United States, but what that turmoil was like, how it was disruptive on the continent, how it was disruptive here. So you don't hear the celebration of these people, the resilience, how beautiful they were before they got here, how beautiful they were, the resilience, the creativity, the ingenuity. This story is so full of positive stereotypes and affirmations. And again, what makes it so distinct is that it has this financial support and backing. Usually this type of story does happen. They're created, but not in this mainstream platform space where everyone is exposed to it. It's usually a small group or maybe just within the African-American community or an artistic community who says, wow, this is great, take a look at it. That is not the approach of this movie. So I think that you're right in that way. So imagine that in this story, you have African, while fictitious, an African country where we recently heard that African countries are often, you know, mess holes, if I can say it in a cleaner way, right? Mm-hmm. But then you have this movie where they're saying that this is this fantastic, you know, well advanced, technologically advanced African country of highly educated and well-trained community with family values, intact families, doing wonderful things. That is so counter to the messages that we hear in movies that we see about Africa or movies that we see about the African-American experience.
Well, how, like, right. It's like an anecdote to all the negative, or, you know.
It's an anecdote, and it's also an affirmation, right? Because many of these things, maybe not in this fictitious environment, but do exist, right? Think about the metal that we use for cell phones and computers. Where does that come from? Uh-huh. It comes from the mines in Africa. Right. Where do diamonds come from, right? Uh-huh. So even blood diamonds and all those movies, they come from those space, those countries. Where does oil come from? It comes from these African countries. So there is some reality of value, but it's often undervalued and not celebrated. This movie is fantastic, but it celebrates many of the positive things that don't often have the opportunity to be celebrated fully for what they are.
Right. And I meant to say antidote, not anecdote, if that's what it sounded like. But it's an antidote to all of the negative stuff, because you study, I know a lot of your class is to look at the negative stereotypes. Sure. Because is it true? That's what you've been saying. That's what you have to work with.
The majority of the images that we see are negative. Yes, unfortunately, many of the images that we see in movies and on sitcoms and dramas are negative. I would say more recently, because of web streaming, we're having more diversity and we're having smaller artists who are able to produce material without all of the backing that then, once they have the audience, they're able to get the financial backing. But traditionally, those shows, those sitcoms, those dramas that get the backing, that get the support right away from the studios, tend to focus on this traditionally stereotype messages where you have a broken family, where you have some crime, where the experience is usually relegated to a poor or under-resourced community. It doesn't necessarily tell a story of blackness, if you will, blackness in quotes, where you could have a well-educated, well-informed family. Now, I would say Blackish is a more contemporary telling of that story, as was The Cosby Show at one time. But there are two compared to the plethora of dramas, right, and sitcoms that represents, if you will, the black experience. And so I think that this is very unique in that way. And even I would go to those of us who are comic book fans, right? I was a comic book fan, mm-hmm. So I'm totally excited. Is that this story compared to, let's say, a Blade, right? Blade was part of Spider-Man's ensemble, and so he did very well in the box office. But when you look at the character makeup of the Blade movies, Blade is pretty much the only African-American in that story. Look at the Black Panther. It's a majority black cast. So again, and Blade's family story was his mother was a single mother. She died at birth. That is not the story of T'Challa, right? He has an intact family with a family lineage. So it's also telling a different story in the media than we normally see.
And didn't you mention something to me previously about that his face had to be covered? Or what was that?
Sure. So in the original...
And we only have... I'm sorry, we have like 30 seconds.
Sure. Yeah. Initially in the comic book, when he was first... He was always a black superhero, but there was fear because he initially came out in 1966 that a black superhero wouldn't be accepted. So they covered his entire face.
Yes. So what a difference today is.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here.
Go enjoy that movie.
Yeah, have fun with your students. Thank you.
Everyone should go see the movie. Thanks for having me.
Yes, Valerie Adams Bass. Thank you so much for being here.
Sorry your students have homework, but it sounds like
this is fun homework.
Like the best of,
this is probably one of the few classes you get to watch TV and write about it.
That's true. There you go. Better spin. Yep, exactly.
So what it's time for now. What I like about this music is that it makes Nancy laugh. It makes you laugh, Nancy.
It does.
So, tell me what you've got.
Well, I have, speaking of the 1927 Yankees, this week started a Yankee spring training. Started February 13th for pitchers and catchers. And position players are this Sunday. And so Florida and Arizona are getting a major delivery of ball players this week. And if anything can bring the people together, besides Black Panther the movie, it's the ballpark. What do you got?
Excellent. Well, I'm taking pictures in the studio right now. So, like tap dance a little bit.
Oh,
these guys are so cute.
I'm sick. It's like, oh, okay. And how's that going? Oh, you want me to talk? Oh, I. Well.
So these Curry professors, Youth Next affiliates, they don't get to really chat so much. They just see each other a little bit here and there. And so they were saying how nice it is to hear a little bit more of their work. And we are so happy that they shared it. So thanks again, you guys.
You're bringing people together, Ellen. That's what you're doing over there.
So my palate cleanser was really about the dough balls that you may have missed. I'm just repeating myself, really, that for the Tibetan New Year, which started yesterday and goes for 3 to 2 weeks, depending, people would give these dough balls in their soup with special treats hidden, like, in the center, depending on people's personality. So it could be coal or wool in the dough balls. I don't know. And so wool, if you got wool, that means you're a kind person. If you got coal, that means you're mean.
Yikes.
I think it's more fun than I'm making it sound, but I thought that was really funny. So,
unless you get coal.
Right. There are other things in there, too. Or I mentioned before, chili pepper means you talk too much. So right now, I might be talking too much, but I wanted to thank the Beckham team at Keller Williams Realty. And remember, also, no one has to do everything. But we all have to do something, especially Robert Mueller. We're very thankful for what he's doing.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks,
excellent.
Everyone.
Send off. Yeah. Way to stick the landing, Ellen. That's perfect.
Okay. Bye-bye.